Welcome to the Liberty Beacon Network, and I am the founder of the Liberty Beacon Project, Roger Landry, and tonight it is a great pleasure of mine to introduce a brand new show to this network by an individual who I have a lot of respect for. Tonight, we are premiering a new show called What's Ailing the World, hosted by Dr. Rebecca Carley. Now, before we bring her in, let me give you just a little bit of a background. Dr. Rebecca Carley received her bachelor's degree in diagnostic ultrasound, attended medical school, and received the Samuel L. Kuntz Award for Clinical Excellence in Surgery at graduation, and trained to be a general surgeon at State University of New York at Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn. Dr. Carley also worked as an attending emergency room physician at Kings County Medical Center in Brooklyn, which is the primary training facility for downstate students and the largest hospital and the busiest trauma center in the United States. Dr. Carley left the practice of general surgery and allopathic medicine after realizing that no one was actually being healed of their diseases, and she started researching alternative medicine while taking time out to start a family. Besides being a guest on over 2,000 radio and television shows, for over 13 years, Dr. Carley had her own weekly public access television show on Long Island, followed by a weekly radio show called What's Ailing America. Dr. Carley has expanded this concept with her new show on the Liberty Beacon Radio Network to What's Ailing the World. I have had the extreme privilege of several extended conversations with Dr. Carley, and whether we are discussing vaccines, pharmaceuticals, GMOs, biotoxins, or environmental toxins, anything that harms humanity, this learned lady is on top of the ball. Dr. Carley now expands, as I said, her show on the Liberty Beacon Project Radio Network to What is Ailing the World. Welcome to the Liberty Beacon Project and TLB Radio Network, my friend. Please fill in the blanks for anything I have not mentioned you feel is pertinent. And I realize that's a lot, Dr. Carley.
Well, I can't tell you how pleased I am, Roger, to be a new host on this network, which I am convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt is going to reach the entire globe. And that's what we need at this time because it's getting really ugly. I don't like to spend a lot of time on my background because it wastes time talking about the issues, but I will add that I have to update the numbers on my bio. I've actually been doing this work almost two decades now. And the reason I left working in the hospital initially in the early 90s was because I witnessed euthanasia, research fraud, and experimentation on people. And it's much, much worse now than it was back in those days. But I have a conscience, and I decided I would not be part of this medical mafia. Unfortunately, I did not know about vaccines at the time, and when I had my only child, Joseph, about 18 and a half years ago, I didn't know anything about vaccines. He received all his vaccines. He became brain damaged. That was back in the day before there was really internet to any degree, certainly no massive information about vaccines as there is now. It was really a very amazing thing that happened. I happened to go to a naturopath because I had a non-union fracture of my foot. At my graduation dance from medical school, my high heels, which I never wore, broke. One of the heels broke off. I broke my foot. The moronic orthopedic surgeon actually put the bottom of the cast above the fracture. So for 6 weeks, I walked on the fracture.
Oh, God.
And developed basically a scab between the bones. If you break a bone and it's set properly, the callus that forms makes the bone actually stronger. If you have a non-union fracture, it's like a scab. It's a hinge. Extremely painful. Of course, the orthopods wanted to put in screws and bolts and plates into my foot. I happened to go to a homeopath on the advice of a friend. Of course, I never learned that word in medical school. And she gave me two remedies. One's called Arnica, which is something everybody should have on hand. It's for emotional and physical trauma. And another one, which actually causes the bones to knit back together. And this avoided surgery. They were about $6 for a little, you know, package of these pellets. And that's when I said to myself, oh, now I realize why I never learned the word homeopathy in medical school. Well, as it turns out, this homeopath just happened to mention to me that you could detox vaccines with homeopathy. And she told me a little bit about, you know, what vaccines really do. So I started giving remedies to my son and watched him become a different child. And that's when I realized that the vaccines were causing the brain damage. And that was just the tip of the iceberg. As I said, I've been researching for almost 2 decades now. I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that vaccines cause all diseases in internal medicine, in people, and in pets. And this is how evil my profession has become, that they create disease. Then they have the white coats give their pharmaceuticals, which, of course, cure nothing but cause more side effects while at the same time making billions of dollars for Big Pharma. And, you know, I decided long ago that no matter what, I had to speak out against this situation because we're talking about the potential extermination of the human race because vaccines also corrupt our genetic structure. And I just want to say that everybody should check out your articles on the Liberty Beacon. One of my favorite articles that you wrote, which I could not agree with more, which I have so many articles.
That I've got to tell you is big praise. I appreciate it, but please continue.
Vaccine and Lies, Premeditated Murder and Government Immunity. And that's what people have to realize, is that we are actually being killed by these agencies that are pretending to be, you know, dealing with health issues, especially with vaccines. And, you know, of course, as you wrote in your excellent article, they've made themselves immune on top of everything. And so this is not acceptable. And people have to rise up and say they're not going to take it anymore. Stop letting your white coats, you know, coerce you into being injected with poison. Stop going for their quote-unquote care just because it's covered by insurance, because you will find out what that really entails, and it's not pretty.
I have to mention this because when you say, when you use the term white coats, why does it sound, because you know the Liberty Beacon Project, we rail against political tyranny, perpetual warfare, other things outside the realm of health, although not that they don't affect our health, they do. But when you say the term white coats, why does it sound so familiar to me as if it's me talking about the red coats in the Revolutionary War? You use the same angst when you use that phrase, but you are a doctor. You trained for years to become a doctor, and here you are speaking. And I know you're speaking the truth because I also have done an immense amount of research. I have a very, you know, I don't challenge people to prove what I say is wrong. I dare them to, simply because I put in the effort, and anybody, especially someone like you, Dr. Carley, in this project puts in the effort to put out good information. So why such the angst? Because do you not believe that there are any good doctors left?
Well, I love that word believe. There's a lie in the middle of
yes.
the word believe.
Yes.
I don't believe anything. I know what I know because, as you said, I've done my homework, as have you. And I use the term white coats, although B.J. Palmer, the founder of chiropractic, used the term medical devils, which is probably more accurate.
I like that too.
Yeah, but the term white coats, it's actually slammed by me on them because, you know, of course, medical students are very much sleep deprived. They learn all this garbage and just spit it back out on tests. But at the end of it all, once you graduate, what do you have? Your white coat ceremony. They give you a white coat and you put it on and you raise your right hand and you recite the Hippocratic Oath, the substance of which is first do no harm. As it turns out, it's a hypocritical oath. All they do is harm. Yeah. So that's why I talk about the white coat.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming, but I would like to steer you in a direction, if you don't mind. And again, this is your show, so at any point, you could tell me to shut up because I have no problems ranting for your entire hour. But I'd like to ask you about something, and I'd like to preface that with a very short preface here and then hear your thoughts on it, because this is going to set you off on a rant. And I'm doing this intentionally because I know how well you rant. As a matter of fact, outside of myself, I would say you're probably one of the best ranters I've ever listened to. So here we go.
Go ahead.
Here we go. In 1954, when I was born, okay, and through my very early childhood, I don't remember ever meeting anybody with Alzheimer's disease. I don't remember ever being associated with anybody with dementia. I never even heard of autism or any other cognitive dysfunction that we suffer from today. Now, I have seen physically, and I have done the research that shows the massive ramping up since the middle 50s until today of vaccines administered to this society. We are the most vaccinated society on the planet. We are also the gold medal winners on this planet when it comes to dementia, when it comes to Alzheimer's, when it comes to autism, or any other cognitive dysfunction on this planet. Now, I'm not tying this to thimerosal or aluminum or anything else, but I am directly tying it to one of the catalysts, one of the strongest catalysts, and that is the increased ramping up of vaccines on this society. What do you have to say? What have you seen about the massive increase of cognitive dysfunction in this country? Why are we the most dumbed down, physically dumbed down society on this planet today?
Well, you are correct. It's basically from the vaccines. But let me just say, although I disagree with the preface or the theory that mercury causes vaccines, to me that's a distraction, a plausible deniability for the massive increase in autism that's occurred since the MMR vaccine came out, which has never had mercury. Autism is subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, and as you know, another excellent contributor and host on the network, Christina England, found documents locked up in the UK for 30 years, marked not for public view or something along those lines, where they actually are talking about vaccines causing subacute sclerosing encephalitis and, you know, basically equating it with autism. However, Alzheimer's is different. Alzheimer's is caused from mercury and aluminum. And as it turns out, my grandmother, who I lived with when I was in high school, loved her so much, ended up with Alzheimer's. By the time I was in college, she was in a home displaying all kinds of weird symptoms. The family couldn't deal with it, so they stuck her in a nursing home. And over the course of a couple years, she ended up being tied to a wheelchair, peeing on herself, and actually having no memory whatsoever, except for, strangely, when I would go to visit her when I came home during holidays, she always remembered me. But because of the fact that my beloved grandmother had this disease, when it was discussed in medical school, I paid very close attention. And as they would cut up the brains and stain them, they found aluminum deposits all over the brain. And that's how I realized that aluminum is highly involved. In fact, my grandmother, my Swedish grandmother's an excellent cook. She made lots of Italian sauces and things of that nature. And she would put them in the, first of all, she would cook them in aluminum pots. My family's very poor. Second of all, she would cover it with aluminum foil. And when you would go in to get some leftovers out to warm them up, I would see that the aluminum foil was actually pitted. And I realized, thinking back, not at the time when I was, barely in my 20s.
Yes.
Right. But I realized that the pitting was the aluminum foil falling into the food. And she used aluminum foil for everything. So I subsequently realized that that was the major way she got her dose of aluminum, because, you know, this was actually back in like the mid to late 70s. The vaccines hadn't ramped up like they are now, where these elderly people in nursing homes are getting the flu vaccine and the pneumonia vaccine every year, which are loaded with aluminum and mercury. Mercury causes... go ahead.
Real quick, so that everybody understands, thimerosal is still present in some vaccines, but very few. Aluminum is a much larger issue, just due to the amount of vaccines that carry it as an adjuvant over and above mercury. Not that they're not both very deadly to the human brain and the human central nervous system, but wouldn't you say aluminum is much more prevalent in vaccines today?
Well, no question. And not only that, I have a book, which was a miracle. Somebody told me about this book, Immunological Adjuvants and Vaccines, part of the NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, Life Sciences series. This is volume 179. And this was published in, the early 80s. I don't have the exact year here, but it's the early 80s. I'm sorry, 1989, Plenum Press, New York. Okay, on page 36, there is an amazing admission about aluminum in this book. And they talk about how aluminum generates a sustained primary antibody response to proteins and is superior to some other adjuvants in boosting the response to intrinsically weak antigens. This is their excuse for putting it in vaccines. It's what they call an adjuvant to boost the response. However, on the next page, they actually say that the effect of aluminum on the IgE response in humans does not appear to have been investigated. IgE is the antibody of allergy. And subsequently, in this same book, on the next page, they talk about the fact that had aluminum actually been investigated back when they first, introduced it, it would have never been allowed in vaccines to begin with because it causes so many problems. However, now that they know it causes so many problems, are they taking it out? No, of course not. And so this...
No.
Right. This is what's going on. And another thing I just wanted to mention, there's a very important article published on a website, Dr. Palevsky, PALEVSKY.com. The title of the article is Peanut Oil Used in Vaccines Since the 1960s.
Oh, and, yes.
Right.
Oh,
and
yes. See, go ahead.
This is important because they got the aluminum in there. So it causes a massive increase in antibody response. They put peanut oil in there. Does anybody listening wonder why we have such an epidemic of peanut allergies? And
yes.
Peanut allergies are life-threatening. We're talking anaphylactic shock if your child's in a cafeteria and smells a peanut butter sandwich. They are doing this on purpose.
And the point of this is, the real evil behind this is, and most people say, okay, so you get an allergy, but at least you didn't get a life-threatening disease and die. Let me explain something to anybody listening out there, okay? You don't know you have a peanut allergy until you go into anaphylactic shock, or you start to gasp, or the whole body starts to turn red, or your face starts to turn blue, and you get rushed to the hospital. Do you know how many people die from food allergies or peanut allergies over the course of a year in this country alone? You must stop to consider that a parent doesn't know when they have their child vaccinated, that they have induced into that child a peanut allergy. And when that child goes to school for the first time or goes over to a neighbor's house when they're 3, 4, 5 years old and eats a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, do you get that child to the hospital on time? People need to understand that food allergies are nothing just to be dismissed. Do you agree with this, Dr. Carley?
Well, not only do I agree with it, but the intentionality of it all, that's what you and I have been trying to bring home to the people. And this is a global issue. This is not just in the States. Of course, here in the States, it's much worse. But they're doing it on purpose. And that's what I want people to realize is that you know, these vaccines, which are touted as a preventive health measure. What a joke. Okay. On my website, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com, read the paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction. I describe the corruption of the immune system, which occurs when you inject a vaccine directly into the body, bypassing the secretory IgA in the upper respiratory and GI tracts, which is essential for forming natural immunity. By corrupting the immune system, this is what causes all these autoimmune diseases, etc. So for them to say that this is a health measure is the biggest lie that's ever been told, at least in terms of the medical arena. It is a big lie.
Don't we also suffer the highest level of autoimmune dysfunction on the planet? We do in this country.
Yes, we do.
And this could be related straight back to the fact that we are the most vaccinated society on this planet. And anybody who doesn't believe that needs to get their head out of their butt.
Right. And start doing research. I always tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself. I've been doing this research, as I said, for almost 2 decades. The book that I'm writing on vaccines is over 1,000 pages. The biggest problem I'm having is trying to edit it down to a more, you know, reasonable length that people will actually sit down and read. And there's studies being done all over the world, very few here in the United States. But I actually found I found a study from Italy where they say that baldness, alopecia in men is due to autoimmunity to the hair follicles caused by vaccines. Okay.
Look, you just made a point that I've got to jump in on, and then I'll let you continue. But you make such startling, really good points, okay? Studies that are not being done here in the USA. I would beg to say a lot of these studies have been done here in the USA. But just like the revelations we received not too long ago from Dr. Thompson, who stated that the CDC was aware through their own research 13 years ago of the prevalence of autism directly connected to the MMR vaccine in young children and stuck it in a drawer somewhere and never told the public about it. So when we look and see GMOs, hey, the study was never done in this country. No, it was done by Seralini in France. The vaccine studies, they're being done right now in India, and they're being done in Japan. So these studies are not being done, so we're being told, in this country. I would dare say that the CDC, the EPA, the FDA, the USDA knows everything any other country on this planet knows. We're just not allowed to know it.
Well, I'm convinced that they're doing the studies here to basically figure out how they can do more damage to the population and kill off more of us under their depopulation scam. That's why they're doing it here. And you mentioned India. Let me just say that India is actually bringing criminal charges against Bill Gates.
Yes.
For his vaccine crimes. Which,
HPV especially, yes.
Right, which is another excellent thing that's happening, although I'm not holding my breath on it happening here.
And I believe there's a couple of countries in Africa due to the tetanus vaccine that are also putting lawsuits up against the WHO and Bill Gates.
Right, because they know they're causing infertility on purpose.
Yes.
And we also have a criminal case in Spain being brought forward against the manufacturers of the Gardasil vaccine. So there are a few countries, a handful, who are, you know, standing up for their, you know, populations. And even though the IMF and the World Bank will give you lots of funding if you vaccinate, which people have to ask, what does the IMF have to do with vaccines?
Population control.
Exactly. But my point is that there are a few countries where they're actually standing up for the people, despite the fact that there's going to be, you know, ramifications to them doing so.
Isn't it a bit surprising, though, that we see pushback coming from nations such as India, which is probably one of the most overpopulated. It's the second most populous nation on the planet. But yet they will stand up and protect their population from sterilization without their knowledge, without their permission, without their consent. And this is coming from one of the most overpopulated and one of the poorest nations on the planet. Yet we live in what is supposed to be the most advanced scientifically, economically, culturally societies on the planet. And this is purposely being hidden from us.
Right. Well, as you know, from your excellent contributor, David Lewis, author of the book Science for Sale, I hope to have on my show at some point as well.
He's also going to be doing a radio show on this network, probably about the first of the year.
Excellent. But his book is so telling. And I've known this for years because I witnessed research fraud. I saw how it works. But when you talk about us being the most scientific country, yeah, we're the most fraudulently scientific country. You pay a scientist and they will publish anything. And that's how it works. And I just want to also mention in regards to Alzheimer's, you will probably not be surprised that they're now developing an Alzheimer's vaccine.
I published an article on that, and I laughed the whole time I was reading it. Are you kidding me? Actually, one of the taglines I put in the article I wrote was, let's develop a vaccine to take care of what we did to you with our vaccine.
That's what they do. Yeah.
Yes.
They're developing vaccines for peanut allergies. I mean, I don't even know how many vaccines they have in the pipeline.
395 vaccines are in the pipeline right now awaiting approval. We're getting bombarded with around 50 of them right now, and we get about 100 shots before we reach adulthood when you consider boosters and everything else. There are six to seven times more vaccines in the pipeline right now waiting for approval than there are in existence today.
And we know that the agencies, the for-profit corporations that are trying to kill us off while making money off the process, will mandate many of these vaccines. I mean, they just keep putting them on the list.
They hold a patent on a lot of these vaccines. The CDC holds a patent on some of these vaccines.
Like Ebola, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is supposed to be starting to be tested in January. But I know Christina sent me information. They're already doing Ebola trials in the UK, and they have some trials that they're starting here as well.
And of course, they're doing trials down in Africa.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to forget the pets. You know, they're killing the pets as well. And my family is my pets. I have 3 dogs and 2 cats. They are my family.
That's
and of course, I don't bring them to any veterinarian. I do all my things for them. They get homeopathics and colloidal silver, which kills every bug it's ever been tested on. But there was a very disturbing article published recently. Let's see, news-leader.com, a routine lunchtime, then tragedy strikes. A dog who, you know, was playing for 3 years with this granddaughter. They loved each other. They played all the time, never any problems. He received a rabies vaccine. And then the next day, he attacked her and pretty much ripped off her face. And, of course, the veterinarians and the doctors deny there could be any link to the rabies giving the dog rabies. But it's self-evident to me that this is what happened.
And, is that a live virus vaccine?
Well, it's supposedly attenuated. You got to love it when they use that word.
But still, it's a live virus vaccine.
Yeah. Do we believe that they're checking every vial? Of course not. But what's really critical about this, what's very telling, is that they have quarantined the dog for 10 days and then they're going to kill the dog. So what that tells me is they're going to examine the dog's brain at autopsy and, you know, find that it has rabies. Of course, they won't admit that to anybody, especially the family, and then they will kill the dog. And that's what's going on. This is how they, you know, verify and monitor and test what they're up to, because this is very serious. There's even a company called Wistar Institute. People can check this out online, Wistar, which was given a $500,000 grant by the NIH, which has weaponized rabies where it can actually be spread orally. You don't have to be bit anymore. You can just be sprayed with it and breathe it in, and it will give you rabies. So these are the kinds of studies that they're paying for with our tax dollars, and this is insane.
I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a series right now on my weekly show called Now This, My Fellow Lab Rats, is Connecting the Dots of Tyranny, in which I discuss all the mechanisms that we are being attacked at a higher level than any other nation on the planet. And let me go over that real quick, because there is a tie point to what you said. Please. That is, that's pharmaceuticals, that's fluoride, that's vaccines, that's GMOs, and that is aerial spraying via chemtrails or geoengineering. And we get the highest incidence of any society on the planet of all of these. And basically, what I try to tell people is that when I and people ask me, why do you say my fellow lab rats? Because we are exactly that. We are watching these cognitive dysfunctions rise at a massive level in this country. We are watching autoimmune disease or dysfunction rise at a massive level in this country. We are watching all of these things rise up in this country at a higher rate than anywhere else on the world. But then we are exposed to these things at a much higher level than any other society on the planet. Now, what do you usually do with a lab rat in order to find out how they're going to react over any lengthy period of time to a specific stimulus? We are, in fact, lab rats. And I dare anybody to tell me we are not. Because what you're discussing, Dr. Carley, what I'm talking about, Dr. Carley, proves unequivocally that we fill that role. Do you agree?
I totally agree. And there's a couple others I would mention, especially pesticides. We're being dumped with billions of tons of pesticides every year. It has been proven unequivocally that pesticides are highly involved with prostate and breast cancer.
Yes.
As well as Parkinson's disease. I have all my notes from medical school, and amazingly, they even mentioned pesticides being involved with Parkinson's disease in medical school. But of course, I never heard any neurologist ask a person with Parkinson's disease about their pesticide exposure. But yes.
Yeah, pesticides and herbicides like Roundup.
Yes.
Glyphosate. Mm. Yes. It's yes. both.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
And it's very important for people to think of themselves as lab rats, because that's what we are. People get duped. You know, we heard about the Nuremberg Code. You know, it was decided that people could not be experimented on any longer without their informed consent. Well, the joke's on you, people, because we are being experimented on. And this whole idea of informed consent, there is no such thing. They don't tell you all the possible side effects of anything they do. And especially they don't tell you about natural alternatives. So that's why
they make them illegal.
Yeah, exactly. To save your life, people, you must stop believing that the white coats have your best interest at heart. You must do your own research. I would start with just knowing that everything you've been told is a lie. So if you flip it around, you're probably going to start at a good place. But another very important thing that people have to realize, when I was in medical school, I had 2 years of pharmacology and 10 hours of nutrition 2 hours of which was telling us the vitamins give you expensive urine. Doctors know nothing about nutrition. They don't tell you to eat organically. They don't tell you to alkalinize yourself with lots of green veggies and things of that nature. They don't tell you how important it is to drink water. In fact, most cases of constipation are either a side effect of a drug you're taking, which, of course, the white coats will give you another drug for the constipation. But if you drink water, you're going to be probably not having any problems with constipation. The formula that I give my clients is you take your body weight and you divide it by two, and that's how many ounces of water you should be drinking a day. Of course, if you're massively dehydrated, it's going to take you a while to catch up in the first place. And of course, what water are you drinking? Are you buying Dasani or Aquafina from Pepsi or Coke? It's actually been revealed that what they're doing is taking tap water, putting it in a plastic bottle, which of course has BP and all this other stuff in it, which is very bad for you, and selling it to you for a couple bucks a bottle. You have to find a source of good water, preferably in glass bottles, although that's very hard to find, because the water you drink is also critical. Breathing clean air, that's a problem, because as you said, with the chemtrails, we are just being slaughtered with all these nanoparticles.
A lot of aluminum, mercury, copper, a lot of heavy metals, including some organic materials that include viruses.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
We've got about 20 minutes left. What I'd like to talk to you about is studies. I would like to talk to you about studies because and the approval process in this country. Because and I'm going to use GMOs only because it's the most blatant. But this, I know, applies just as readily to vaccines and pharmaceutical drugs. But what I'm going to state here is that the FDA requires a 90-day study on a GMO prior to them approving it. And the study is done by the company, not by the government. Okay. Uh-oh. A 90-day study by the company wishing to have a product approved. They submit that study to the FDA. The FDA looks at the study and say, okay, no rats died. They all went home happy. Bang, it's on your dinner table. This is their standard. Now let's go to the Seralini study. And that was done, of course, in Europe, in France. And it was a 2-year study utilizing the exact same mechanisms that are used by these GMO, these big biotech companies like Monsanto in this country. But they did it for 2 years. And what did they find? These rats were sterile after the third generation. These rats had tumors the size of golf balls, or in some cases, 50% of their body weight. The offspring in the second generation were half the size they should have been. Their immune systems were shot. But yet, in this country, the FDA allows a 90-day study to prove something safe for us to feed our children, whereas that Seralini study in France over 2 years has proved the exact same mechanisms to be deadly over the long term. Can you talk to the approval for the study mechanism in this country? Because I believe therein lies the biggest fault.
Well, not to mention the fact that there's a revolving door between the pharmaceutical companies and the FDA to begin with.
Yes.
The person who was in charge of the vaccine division of the FDA went to work as a CEO at Merck. Talk conflict of interest. Hello, people. How obvious can it be? But what you're describing is the exact same thing that happened with aspartame. People should look at the documentary Sweet Misery online, which you can watch for free. The FDA found aspartame caused, 90 different problems. And, of course, They were actually going to stop the company. That was back in the days when the FDA was somewhat, you know, trustworthy.
Until Donald Rumsfeld.
Yep, that's it. Donald Rumsfeld comes in, and next thing you know, it's approved, and now it's poisoning people everywhere.
Do you know what they've done? They've changed the name from aspartame to AmioSweet.
Yeah.
And even marketing it as a natural sweetener. Now, this is a genetically engineered toxin that once in the body changes into grain alcohol, wood alcohol, and formaldehyde, which are both extremely toxic to the human physiology. But yet it's being marketed today, AmioSweet is, as a natural sweetener. Where the hell do you get off with this?
Well, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, and people can verify it.
I just wrote
it very
an article on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's so mind-boggling, and this is why I was so outraged. I mean, as you mentioned in my bio, I decided I didn't want to, quote-unquote, practice medicine anymore because I saw nothing but harm going to people. But when I realized the corruption and fraud behind it, I actually did research when I was a surgery resident. I saw the corruption and fraud going on with the scientific research, and yet it's published anyways. I actually had my mentor. We were doing an experiment on rats, and which was very hard for me, by the way, because I love all animals. But this is just something that you have to do if you want to get a pediatric surgery fellowship someday. And the experiment came out the exact opposite of what our hypothesis had been. So my mentor wanted me to change the hypothesis to go along with the results. And that's when I left research. I said, are you kidding me? No way am I going to do this. But this is what goes on every day. These quote unquote academic researchers that work in these high level, you know, research hospitals, you know, Yale and all the rest of them. Even my hospital in Brooklyn, it was a pretty biggie. We had the largest amount of surgery residents there anywhere in the country. And in order to get their further, you know, advancements, these scientists just have to put out research, get more, you know, on the CV. Doesn't matter if it's actually true. That's how it works. And it is disgusting. But one other thing I just want to mention, which cracks me up, because I watch a lot of television when I'm working on my computer. That's how I monitor what they're feeding the sheep. And what never ceases to amaze me, and I'm sure anybody listening that has seen these commercials, you will have a commercial from Big Pharma promoting a drug. Then the next thing you know, sometimes during the same show, you will have a commercial by a law group who's bringing class action suits against that manufacturer for that very drug.
Or,
they don't take. Go ahead.
Or if when they give out this drug that's supposed to help you sleep or supposed to help you relax or whatever, then right at the end of this commercial, in a very fast voice, talking so fast you can't even understand, they give a list of all the side effects, which include things like possible suicide.
Right.
And the thing of it is, you're so caught up with the glamorous presentation of the commercial and the beautiful woman and the air blowing through her hair. And then at the end, for about 20 seconds, you get may cause, and it gives you about 30 things. I've got to tell you something. If anybody was to read the actual side effects of the drugs they take and they still took them, they're already suffering from massive brain damage.
Yes.
Because it should scare the hell out of you.
Well, that's what I always tell people. I have clients all over the world. I do consults teaching them what I would do if I was they, because, of course, I don't give medical advice or practice medicine after they went after my medical license for my alleged delusion of conspiracy. So I'm a teacher now. And I always tell people, you have to check out the side effects of these drugs before you stick them in your mouth. You can go on any search engine. Just type in the name of the drug hyphen side effects. Read what Big Pharma admits to. One of the most amazing things that I found over the years is that almost every drug as one of the side effects causes the very thing that you're taking the drug for. Anti-seizure meds is one of my favorites because you take an anti-seizure meds, you get more seizures. Do they tell you, oh, that could be a side effect of the drug? No, they put you on another drug and another drug. I mean, I've had people on up to like 5 anti-seizure meds at one time. Antacid drugs, same things, causes increased production of acid. Antihypertensive drugs, one of the main side effects is memory loss, people. Check it out for yourself.
I agree with you so much, and it is so blatantly clear to anybody who, like you and myself and a lot of people in the Liberty Beacon Project, who do a lot of reading into a lot of the events that have happened over the last 5 or 6 years in this country. Let's talk about the mass shootings. Let's talk about what happened in Connecticut. Let's talk about the Batman shootings. Let's talk about the shootings on the Army base in Texas. Let's talk about each and every one of these individuals that perpetrated these mass shootings was either on psychotropic or psychiatric drugs, and a massive amount of them. Let's stop and consider that, my friends, okay? How many mass shootings have you heard of lately, and I dare you to do some research on this, where there was zero psychotropic, psychiatric, or any type of mind-altering drugs involved with the individual who perpetrated these massacres? What is it going to take for people to add one and one up to make two?
Right, and this is an admitted side effect in the package inserts of these drugs, homicide or suicide. But what does our darling government do? Instead, they use it as an excuse to try to push gun control, not to stop psychiatric drugs.
Yes. Oh, you see, one of the reasons why I have been itching to do this show with you, and I'm so glad we finally got you on the air, is because you do focus a lot on vaccines, but your knowledge base covers – you have such a big umbrella. You cover so many topics, and you've made yourself aware of so many of the peripheral items that are doing so much harm to not only people in this country but around the world. It is a pleasure to talk to you always, Dr. Carley.
Well, thank you, Roger, and that's why I am so excited to be on this network because, as I said, you've already reached so many thousands of people around the world, and as we continue to share information and word gets out about these shows. If I didn't know this, I wouldn't be doing what I do because I've suffered greatly for doing what I do. There is going to come a time where we reach critical mass, the 100th monkey, whatever you want to call it, where people are going to say, I won't take this anymore. We will not pay for our own destruction. Who do you elitist, genocidist, like Bill Gates and Henry Kissinger, who do you think you are that you're going to decide who lives and dies? I don't think so.
We are having an impact. And let me tell you one place where most people don't realize it. We've lost a lot of battles in this arena, but we're winning the war because right now, believe it or not, we are being a lot of states that try and put labeling for GMOs on the ballot, they're defeated in a lot of states. But, and even if they win out, then Monsanto or other big biotech companies come in and open a lawsuit against the state for passing the law. But what has happened is, throughout this, we have awakened so many people across the nation as to the harm of not only GMOs, but the biotoxins they use on them when they're growing them, that right now it used to be that natural foods or organic foods were the second most sought after or asked for food in a grocery store. Today, people asking their grocers if they have non-GMO food far surpasses people asking their grocer if they have organic or natural food. So we are winning the war. People are waking up. We're going to reach that critical mass. You put that so eloquently. I constantly preach to the point of critical mass. But we are winning, people. Just because we're losing political battles. What we're doing is we're winning with the purse. If people say, I will no longer buy this crap, you need to put food in this store that is non-GMO. I don't care if it's natural. I don't care if it's organic. But you need to tell me that it is non-GMO. Then I will buy it. And that is the second most asked for thing in every grocery store across this country today. So, Dr. Carley, we are making headway. We are winning the war.
Well, I know we are. I mean, I've seen such a dramatic change since I started doing this work a couple decades ago. In the beginning, when I was on public access TV, you know, people would look at me like, you know, you're crazy. You've got to be kidding me. But no more, no more. And see, I always tell people, it's oftentimes hard to wake up your own family. My own family doesn't listen to me. But start with simple questions. One simple question with the GMO issue is, why is Monsanto spending millions and millions of dollars in these states to defeat these labeling agendas? Why are they scared that you know that the food has GMO in it? That in itself tells a big, you know, it's very obvious. It's bad for you. That's why they don't want you to know what's in there. So,
Those who scream the loudest about anything are usually end up by being the proponents of that same thing.
Right.
Right. And I'm talking about exactly what you stated. Millions, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent on defeating GMO labeling, okay? And their biggest argument is it's the equivalent of natural food. We don't need labels. Well, if it's the equivalent of natural food and you don't need labels, why are you spending hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure we don't get labels?
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
You it's self-evident.
Yes.
I talk about self-evident truth. A truth that's so obvious you don't need a study, you know, or whatever. It's obvious by their actions what's going on. And so that's a good place for people to start. The way I frame that in terms of vaccinations is I say, okay, they're telling you all these germs are bad. So to protect you, we're going to inject these germs directly into your bloodstream. How does that protect us? Especially when, you know, my favorite thing for germs is colloidal silver, but there's lots of things you can use, vitamin C, vitamin D, oil of oregano. There's many natural things you can do to boost your immune system. So where did this concept of injecting you with what's actually bad for you come to be a protective thing? This is how, you know, everything has been turned around on its head. You know, dark is light and light is dark. This is what these psychopaths do.
And they're doing the same thing right now in Africa because rather than allow, and believe me, it has been disallowed and blocked in a lot of cases, you can't ship colloidal silver or nano silver to South Africa anymore because what it's going to do is overshadow the vaccines within the area. This government has literally put a cork in any colloidal silver or nano silver being shipped to the areas that are most affected by Ebola right now because it's a known fact that this would in fact take care of the Ebola. But then colloidal silver is pennies on the dollar compared to what Big Pharma is going to make off the vaccines.
Right. And of course, I never learned about colloidal silver in medical school is either. I've learned about so many things from people I've encountered over the years. I've been using it for, I would say, about 17 years now. All my clients use it. Unbelievable success stories. Never a problem, ever. And I actually went back in the PDR, Physician's Desk Reference, to check. It was in there in the 1980s, and then they took it out. And now they're so scared of colloidal silver because, as you said, you can buy your own generator. You can make it for pennies a day. There's thousands of uses for it. Burns, I've seen burns heal unbelievably. You know, the list is endless. You can breathe it in with a nebulizer. It's one of the most important things that, in my opinion, anybody should have on hand. So learn about these things, people. Don't ask your white coat. They will tell you it's quackery. I can guarantee you that. Okay, it looks like we lost Roger. Not surprising. Bill Gates owns Skype now, so strange things do happen. But we're almost out of time anyways. If I can get a message from the board op. Okay, I'm getting a message. They got cut off. This can be expected. You know, this message, these messages are not wanted to get out to the people by the psychopaths that control everything. So let's see. At least they let us do most of the show. Maybe I'm the one that got cut off.
I think we both got dropped for a few seconds there.
Okay, thank you, Bill Gates. Okay, well, at least they let us get through most of the show.
You got to do a wrap up now.
All right, wrap up
about 1 minute.
Okay. Check out my website, reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. Do your own research, people. Don't believe the white coats. They do not have your health, in their interest. It's not, you don't make money by healing people. That's the reason that they work for Big Pharma. And, just do your own research. That's the most important thing I can say. And obviously listen to the excellent hosts on this network, who are going to share all kinds of information with you. Roger and I are two peas in a pod, and that's why
yes.
I'm so honored to have you on my first show, Roger. I think that we opened up a lot of eyes. Good night, everybody.